Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
To put food into the food banks, to use this money to buy produce that can be given to our people, distributed to our people who need it across the Commonwealth.
It is Farms to Food Banks Day in Kentucky, and State Representative Wilson Stone says taxpayers can now use a checkoff on their tax returns to support the program. Former Agriculture Commissioner Richie Farmer has been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison, and water problems continue for many eastern Kentucky households. In sports, Kentucky and Arkansas battle on the hardwood tonight. Bud Luke has the business news. Mostly clear this evening, a chance of rain, low near 29. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. Former Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner and UK basketball star Richie Farmer is going to jail. Farmer this afternoon was sentenced to 27 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to two counts of misappropriating government resources while overseeing the Agriculture Department. Farmer says he's truly sorry for his actions. He says they've resulted in suffering for himself and his family. Farmer served two terms as Kentucky's top agricultural official and was a member of UK's 1991-92 basketball team dubbed the Unforgettables. The president of the Louisa Community Bank has been placed on administrative leave following his indictment on child pornography charges. According to a statement from the bank, the indictment of 68-year-old Edgar Purdom is of a personal nature and is not related to his duties with the business. A Lawrence County grand jury last week issued indictments on five counts against Purdom. Four of them are for distributing matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor, and one is for possession of matter that portrays a sexual performance by a minor. He'll be arraigned on those charges January 24th. The Moorhead News is reporting that the owner of Caskey's Jewelry in Moorhead is offering a $10,000 reward for the arrest and conviction of those who burglarized the store last weekend. Kentucky State Police are investigating the matter. Detective David Zimmerman is in charge of the probe. He says the crime was likely committed by more than one person. He notes that the suspects entered the building through its roof, which makes him believe they were not amateurs.
No, they had equipment. It took them quite some time to do so. I mean, they definitely had some tools, some knowledge of how to possibly work on a roof and to cut through it.
The total value of the goods taken has not yet been determined. Police are urging anyone with information about the incident to give them a call. Some Floyd County residents are starting their second week without water because of weather-related problems in the Southern Water Service region. Pipes burst and water pressure fell after frigid temperatures last week were followed by a sudden warming trend. Betty Cook is with the Southeast Volunteer Fire Department. She spoke with WYMT.
It's not fair. Everyone should have water and a way to bath and brush their teeth and be clean when they go to school.
Cook tells the Hazard Station firefighters are delivering bottled water to as many households as they can. Meanwhile, about 1,000 people in Johnson County are also without water. Jessica Click is one of them. She also talked with WYMT.
We went down to the creek about 11 o'clock last night and drawed out some water to flush the toilets, but other than that, we've not had any water to wash dishes or laundry or anything.
Utility companies in the area hope to have most of the water service restored tomorrow or Thursday. Buckhorn Lake State Resort Park in Perry County has been temporarily closed due to a lack of water in the wake of very cold weather this month. Kentucky Parks spokesman Gil Lawson says the park cannot get additional water because of water line breaks in the area. He says the facility will remain closed until water service is restored. Other parks in the area, including Natural Bridge and Jenny Wiley, remain open. Moorhead's top official thinks the city may have found a way to finally add the position of major to its fire department. The city last year budgeted $15,000 for the job, but has yet to fill it because of fears that it will have to spend several thousand dollars annually in contributions to that person's hazardous duty retirement fund. To get around that problem, Mayor David Perkins says the city would not hire the fire department's new major as a part-time employee.
We have a number of titles, if you will, captains, lieutenants, trainers, and what have you, that already exist in a department. They're paid a slightly higher stipend than the regular turnout fee for, you know, having extra responsibilities. These are quote-unquote volunteer positions, and we think we can do that with the major.
Perkins says other fire departments around the state employ similar arrangements for some of their leadership positions. The city is checking with the state about the legalities of its plan. The Robertson County School District is moving forward with plans to demolish and clean up the remaining part of the former Deming School building. The 86-year-old facility was closed a year ago after a new school was built. It was then vandalized several times before much of it was destroyed by a July fire. Because the Deming building contained asbestos, the EPA has said the Robertson School District must hire a contractor to handle the cleanup. Interim Superintendent Patty Price says members of the school board are currently reviewing a bid for that work.
They meet next Wednesday night, the 22nd, and we're in hopes that they'll make a decision on whether to proceed with that. It's a bond issue, and they'll have to decide if they want to proceed with that bond and have that demolition work done.
Price estimates the work will cost around $169,000. She hopes the project will be completed next spring. The House Elections Committee today approved a bill that would give Kentucky voters a chance to decide whether most convicted felons could have their voting rights restored. The measure, sponsored by Representative Jesse Crenshaw, calls for a constitutional amendment establishing a process for just that after felons who paid their debt to society. Ex-cons are not permitted to vote in Kentucky today unless they successfully petition the governor. Father Patrick Delahanty is executive director of the Catholic Conference of Kentucky. He testified for the bill.
If approved, this change in the Constitution will draw clear boundaries that remove the possibility of arbitrary decision-making. It will eliminate the possibility that race or other factors, intended or unintended, will play a role in restoring the right to vote to certain former felons.
Father Delahanty says more than 200,000 Kentuckians are disenfranchised under current law. If the proposed constitutional amendment is approved, those felons could have their voting rights restored unless they were convicted of intentional murder, rape, sodomy, or a sex offense involving a minor. Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr has introduced legislation called the Military Save Act, which would enable victims of military sexual trauma to choose private health care providers. The Fayette County Republican discussed his bill at a press conference in the state capitol.
While I applaud the work of the people who work at the VA, most of whom do an outstanding job taking care of our veterans, I believe there is more we can do for victims of MST.
Barr says he chose to sponsor the measure after conferring with constituents. He says some of them didn't believe the VA services now available meet all the needs of sexual trauma victims. Barr says his bill puts victims in charge of their own care. It is Farms to Food Banks Day in Kentucky, and backers of the program are encouraging Kentuckians to support it when they file their state tax returns this year. For the first time, taxpayers can donate part or all of their refunds to a Department of Agriculture trust fund that enables food banks to acquire surplus produce from Kentucky farmers. State Representative Tom McKee chairs the House Agriculture Committee.
When I thought about how cold and bad it was 1 week ago today, and to think that some people in our great Commonwealth do not have adequate food, it challenges all of us.
McKee spoke on the House floor Monday. The Kentucky Association of Food Banks says 620,000 Kentuckians received assistance from food banks last year. A relatively new program within the University of Kentucky's College of Agriculture is gaining national acclaim. That's according to the college's dean, Dr. Nancy Cox. She says the Community and Economic Development in Kentucky initiative is part of an outreach effort to help counties solve some of their own problems.
The University of Kentucky SEDEC program was named in a press release from President Obama concerning the Promise Zone that Kentucky Highlands will work on. And Secretary of the USDA, Vilsack, is coming later this week to both UK and Pineville to talk some more about that program.
Cox testified in Frankfort today before the Senate Agriculture Committee. Kentucky's Republican U.S. senators say they have introduced legislation aimed at helping rural counties being hurt by restrictive lending practices. Senators Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul say their proposal is a response to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and its practices. The senators say their bill would give counties a voice when the CFPB incorrectly labels them as non-rural. They note several Kentucky counties, including Bath County, have gotten the non-rural designation, preventing them from certain rural lending practices that are helpful to farmers and small businesses. Kentucky Bankers Association President and CEO Ballard Cassidy says the bill would help rural communities to have access to the credit they need to survive. The fees charged by Lexington for services such as building permits are being reviewed. City Council today examined planning and engineering charges for residential construction projects. Vice Mayor Linda Gorton says personnel costs for providing such services often exceed the revenue collected through fees.
The fees don't pay for the services. And, you know, that's a philosophical discussion. Probably in order to pay for the services 100%, the fees would need to be really high.
Gorton says Lexington's residential fees are consistent with the fees charged in neighboring communities. She says there could be some rate adjustments, but it won't be a big moneymaker for the city. Gorton says Lexington must keep its fees competitive with other cities. Moorhead's City Council is looking at adopting a policy on social media use by city employees. Councilman Glenn Teeger says it's a response to the abundance of social media outlets in today's world.
Most of what this ordinance does is lets employees know that when they're posting something, they are not posting as a city employee, and if they're posting opinions that would be against the city, then they need to say, this is not the opinion of the city. This will be given to each of the employees to let them know that they need to be careful about what they're posting, what they're doing with social media, and it also covers, you know, use of city-owned equipment that we would not allow that.
Teeger compares the policy to a similar one passed by the Rowan County Board of Education. And finally, this afternoon, Ohio Auditor Dave Yost says there's a new means of reporting government fraud and abuse in the Buckeye State. Yost says the new Ohio Stops Fraud iPhone application enables users to report fraud directly to his office at any time and from any place. He says it's available through the Apple App Store and makes it simple to send information about the abuse and perhaps a photograph, too.
This is really pretty cool. You have the option to either take a picture with the camera icon or even take a video file if you see something that's going on. Somebody sleeping in the cab of a truck, maybe.
Yost says users can explain the abuse by voice recording and pinpoint the exact place with a GPS locator. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, and Moorhead. The rest of today, partly cloudy, a chance of rain showers late in the afternoon, highs in the upper 40s, the chance of rain is 30%. Tonight, look for cloudy skies, a chance of rain or snow in the evening, then a chance of snow late, lows in the upper 20s. The chance of precipitation is 50%. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of snow, lows in the lower 30s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 20s. Currently in Ashland, it is 51 degrees. Flemingsburg has 58. Winchester and Lexington both have 50 degrees. It's 51 in Inez. And on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 52 degrees. It is 4:45. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, kinship care in Kentucky has doubled in the past decade, but the state has quit accepting new applications for its kinship care program. A new issue brief from Kentucky Youth Advocates calls for restoring entry into the program, which helps grandparents and other relatives caring for children. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
In Kentucky, 6% of all children are being raised by extended family members, one of the highest kinship care rates in the nation. A new report from Kentucky Youth Advocates outlines what the group says needs to be done to increase support for grandparents and others raising kids who cannot safely live with their parents. Jean Miller Jacobs and her husband are raising their three grandkids. She says more assistance is badly needed.
The biggest hurdle that we've had is misinformation. When we first got the kids, the financial part of kinship care never came up.
She says her grandchildren, ages 5, 3, and 1, came to live with them because their parents struggled with drug addiction. Kinship care has doubled in Kentucky in the last decade. Earlier this year, Kentucky stopped taking new applications for its kinship care program. It provides caregivers $10 a day to help meet a child's basic needs. Kentucky Youth Advocates Executive Director Terry Brooks says the freeze needs to end because that program is a better solution than the alternative, which is foster care.
Kids are put in situations where they're not able to stay with relatives who love them. And we're moving them from a system that works, kinship care, to a system that costs almost $69 a day.
The KYA report also calls for making it easier for kinship families to enroll a child in school or access health care. Miller Jacobs says streamlining the system would be a big help.
I can tell you that when I had to renew the kids' medical cards, I was there for 4.5 hours, and I had an appointment.
According to the report, 26 states have enacted health care consent laws, and 14 states have enacted education consent laws. Brooks says he anticipates a bill in the 2014 legislative session to allow caregiving relatives access to children's services without the need for legal custody or guardianship.
Those are things that other states have done successfully, and those are practices that Kentucky needs to emulate.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and Chase has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
It's another tough road test for the Big Blue tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The 13th-ranked Kentucky basketball team will be in search of its fifth straight win tonight. The Wildcats visit Arkansas for a 9 o'clock SEC contest at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. Coach John Calipari expects the Razorbacks to test the Big Blue with their high-energy, up-tempo style of play.
It mostly affects who you have on your team. You have to have tough, strong-willed players. Those guys will give themselves a chance to win. If you go in there with any kind of, if you're timid in any way, they'll overrun you. That's how they play.
At 11-4, Arkansas is scoring an average of 85 points a game this season, but has started its SEC schedule with back-to-back losses. Kentucky has beaten the Hogs in 11 of the last 13 meetings between the two teams. The Cats are 12-3 this season and 2-0 in the SEC. Other top 25 matchups in college hoops tonight show number 3 Wisconsin hits the road to take on Indiana. 5th-ranked Wichita State looks to remain unbeaten as they host Bradley. 7th-ranked Florida will host Georgia. Number 19 Cincinnati hosts Temple. Number 20 Creighton welcomes in Butler. 22nd-ranked Pitt hits the road to Georgia Tech. And 25th-ranked Oklahoma travels to Kansas State. The Moorhead State Basketball Eagles will be looking for a bounce-back effort when they host Southeast Missouri State Thursday night at Johnson Arena. Coach Sean Woods was disappointed with MSU's performance during last Saturday's home loss to rival Eastern Kentucky, and he says his players have one key thing that they need to work on as they prepare for SEMO.
Just being us, you know, trusting. You know, I've been saying all along, you know, we don't trust the play to be made. You know, it's not going to be a cut and dry. The guy's not going to be wide open. You got to sometimes trust your athleticism.
The MSU men will be attempting to improve on their 2-1 OVC record when they host the Red Hawks Thursday at 7. Moorhead State women's basketball coach Tom Hodges hopes his players will break out of a shooting slump soon. In their losses to Eastern Kentucky Saturday and last night to Austin Peay, Hodges' Eagles shot only 36% from the field during the two games, also connecting on just 15 of their 53 three-point attempts.
There's no way to explain it. I mean, three-point shots are inconsistent, yes, but you kind of think you're going to make free throws and layups. That's something that we kind of game plan for, and when you don't make those, it kind of takes the air out of the balloon a little bit.
MSU women will try and snap their two-game skid on Saturday when they entertain UT Martin at 4:15. Both Rowan County basketball teams will see the court time tonight. The 9-7 Viking boys will travel to Menifee County to face off with the 2-10 Wildcats. Coach Sean Thacker says for his team to have a strong finish to this season, the Vikes will need to play great defense and control the backboards.
That's what it's going to take for us to be successful as we move on down the road. You know, we've been talking about 30 rebounds. Usually it's going to be a number that we really need to get to in order to be competitive in games against anybody.
As for Rowan 7-9 Lady Vikings, they'll host Russell this evening at 7:30 in a rematch of an EKC tourney game in December that Rowan won. Russell is 13-3 for the year. The NBA schedule is pretty light tonight with only 4 games on the skid. MSPR's Joshua Grandison previews the matchups.
Highlighted by 2 of the top teams in the NBA right now, the schedule starts with the Indiana Pacers hosting the Sacramento Kings. The Pacers seem nearly unbeatable at home with an 18-1 mark, while the Kings are just 4-9 on the road. The Thunder will travel to Memphis to take on a scrappy Grizzlies squad anchored by big man Zach Randolph. Kevin Durant will also look to keep his scoring title as he averages 29.5 a game. The Lakers will host the Cavaliers, and the Bobcats will host the Red Hot Knicks in the other two matchups. For MSPR Sports, I'm Joshua Grandison reporting.
With this team starting preseason practice, Moorhead State baseball coach Mike McGuire plans to begin with the basics. According to McGuire, early on, it's about making sure his players get plenty of reps.
Our pitcher's been on a throwing program, but, you know, it's time to start building them up, getting on the mound, building a pitch count. And then, you know, for position players, it's just a matter of getting extra swings to get prepared for the season, try to get them facing live pitching as much as we can, you know, as our pitchers are ready.
The Baseball Eagles are just a month away from their 2014 opener. They are scheduled to meet Ball State in a tournament in Spartanburg, South Carolina, on Valentine's Day. And finally, battling over triple-digit heat, the Australian Open is currently in full swing with first-round matchups underway. On the men's side of things, fourth-seeded Andy Murray cruised through a 3-set victory over Go Sewoda. Fifth-seeded Juan Martin Del Potro took down Ryan Williams in 4 sets. Sixth-seeded Roger Federer had no trouble with James Duckworth as the match finished in 3 sets, and currently top-seeded Rafael Nadal is in action against Bernard Tomic, leading 2 sets to none. For the women's, Maria Sharapova, Agnieszka Radwanska, Yelena Yankovic, Sloane Stephens advanced with ease. As for the top-seeded Lee Na, she takes the court at 7 p.m. tonight. That's all for sports. I'm Chase Scott reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Southeast Missouri Thursday in MSU's Academic Athletic Center. The game starts at 7 p.m. tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher as Wall Street chalked up its strongest performance in 2014 after upbeat retail sales data for December helped offset concerns that came with Friday's monthly jobs report. And the Commerce Department report had retail sales rising 0.2% last month after a 0.4% advance in November. The gauge of consumer spending was viewed as particularly important in light of Friday's dismal jobs report for December, which had the government reporting the addition of only 74,000 to non-farm payrolls, far below estimates of about 200,000. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow recapturing quite a bit of the loss from yesterday with a gain of 115.92 at 16,373.86. The S&P 500 was up 19.68 at 1838.88, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 69.71 to finish at 4183.02. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 21-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. J.P. Morgan, Chase, and Wells Fargo gained after reporting fourth quarter results. Time Warner Cable rose after spurning a bid from Charter Communications. Google advanced after saying it would purchase digital thermostat manufacturer Nest Labs for $3.2 billion. And Tesla Motors surged after deliveries of its Model F sedan in the fourth quarter topped what the electric car maker had forecast. GameStop fell sharply after the video game retailer projected fourth quarter profit below expectations. The dollar fluctuated against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, while the yield on the 10-year Treasury note climbed 5 basis points to end at 2.876%. And on the New York Mercantile Exchange, crude oil futures for February delivery rose 88 cents to $92.71 a barrel, and gold futures for February delivery lost $5.70 to settle at $1,245.40 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.39 at $99.72. CSX up 45 cents at 28.88, AEP down 16 cents at 46.51, AK Steel up 24 cents at 7.55, Marathon Petroleum up 94 cents at 89.10, and Windstream was up 5 cents to finish at 7.95. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Morehead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
Here is a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, and Moorhead. Partly cloudy, a chance of rain showers late this afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s, the chance of rain is 30%. It'll be cloudy tonight, a chance of rain or snow in the evening. Then a chance of snow late, lows in the upper 20s, and the chance of precipitation is 50%. Currently, it is 51 degrees in Ashland, 48 in Flemingsburg, 50 degrees in Winchester and Lexington, 51 degrees in Inez, and 52 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Chase Johnson, Chase Scott, Joshua Grandison, Asa Hasoda, and Jordan Simonson. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.